I'm up on the tight wire.
I'm Daniel Chacon. Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire. Today, my guest is going to be Richard Montoya, and you probably know him from his incredibly funny appearance on Nacho Libre. He is more than an actor. He is a writer, he is an activist, and he is an incredibly important member of the artistic and activist in the Latino world and in Los Angeles. And his new movie is about to come out. He wrote and directed it. It's called Power and Water. And we're going to talk to him about that movie. And it's going to be a great show. And on Poem of the Week, I'm going to read a poem by Andres Montoya, who is a cousin of Richard Montoya. They're first cousins. And as you know, Andres is the author of The Ice Worker Sings and Other Poems, which won the American Book Award. Unfortunately, this young man, before his book came out, died of leukemia. And so he never got a chance to know how successful and influential his work has become. But we're going to talk to his cousin. It's going to be a great show. I've known Andres for many, many years. When I was a student at California State University, Fresno, Andres and I were roommates and we became best friends. I got to know his family. I got to know Jose Montoya. I got to know his father, Malaquias, and his little brother, just this little tiny kid named Maceo Montoya, who grew up to be an artist in his own right and a writer. And we're going to have him on a future show because he just had a new novel. So this is kind of like my friends used to joke with Andres and say that he came from Chicano royalty. It's going to be a great show. So please stick around. We'll be talking to Richard Montoya on Words on a Wire. Richard Montoya is an actor and a writer. We know him very well from his appearance on Nacho Libre, the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas, and his most recent movie, which he wrote and directed and will be premiering in May, which is called Water and Power. He is a founding member of Culture Clash, the comedy group that went on to write incredible plays, and he is also part of the Montoya family. He is the son of the great Chicano poet Jose Montoya, founder of the Royal Chicano Air Force, and he is also the cousin of Andres Montoya, who is the American Book Award winner for The Ice Worker Sings and Other Poems. And Richard Montoya has an incredible commitment to activism, to community, and to art, and we're happy to have him on the show. Richard Montoya, welcome to Words on a Wire.
Orale, what's happening over there?
Are you talking to us from East L.A.?
My entire life in L.A. has always been between Sunset Boulevard and the Hollywood Freeway in the Echo Park area by Dodger Stadium.
Oh, nice.
But recently my wife and I, we bought a house deep into East L.A., so my upward mobility has taken me further east, and I'm now a resident of City Terrace. A classic old neighborhood full of artists and familia. So it looks like I'm in a part of Texas out here, but on the east side of L.A.
Oh, that must be nice. You know, you have always represented in your work East L.A. I mean, you've always been, you know, very much a part of it. I remember this one joke you told on A Bowl of Beans where Che comes back to life. And he's asking about all these countries, you know, how they fell, you know, communism fell, the party's over. And he says, what about La China? And you go, she lives in Monterey Park. Want me to call her?
Yeah, we can have a party, man. Hey, I'm not too far from the dim sum corridor now, so.
Yeah, it's right next to East L.A.
Life imitates art, but I think a lot of people are heading back, in a sense, to these older homes that, you know, where I live in Echo Park there, it was just, man, I had hipsters to the right of me, hipsters to the left of me, on top of me, behind me, and I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. I like to be in a neighborhood where there's other familias, and within the first hour we were here, the vecinos come over, they knock on the door, they welcome you, you know, and I hadn't talked to one of my neighbors in 3 years. I hadn't even shared a word, and I, you know, we're kind of old school in that way that we like to know who our neighbors are.
Yeah. Have you ever been to El Paso?
I have been to El Paso. I went to El Paso just to check it out, because I was so curious about that area, and I didn't venture into Juarez, but I went around El Paso, took those West Texas highways out to, you know, places like Marfa and Marathon, right, and did that journey. But I truth is, I love El Paso. I just worked with the artist Zeke Peña from El Paso, who did the memorial poster for my father, Jose Montoya.
Oh, that was a beautiful poster. I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Give a shout out to Zeke Peña, and then Viva Flores, this loca, beautiful spoken word artist. She's based in El Paso, so we're gonna head out there. Just there's so many interesting people there, and it's always been a deep kind of resonating place for me. And I know that Austin gets all the attention in, you know, San Antonio, Houston, Dallas, but El Paso for me is, it's got that magic to it,
yeah.
You know, a deep resonance.
Well, you know, in many ways, El Paso is like one huge East L.A. Right, we're like 80% or more are Latinos, and you were talking about the neighborhood, the neighbors coming over. When I first moved here, I moved into Kern Place, which is kind of this, you know, hoity-toity neighborhood, and nobody ever introduced themselves or even, you know, waved back. But when I moved to another neighborhood that was more Latino, man, they were bringing over menudo, they were, you know, bringing plants and welcoming me into the neighborhood.
Yeah, in El Paso, man, I've been reading up about the people that that come from Monterrey or the other side of the border that also choose to live there in a kind of a thriving middle class, which makes a certain amount of sense. But I mean, I need to go explore all of that stuff, you know.
You are, you know, certainly a very you know, accomplished writer, actor, performer, artist. You know, been very influential on the Chicano literary and artistic culture. But your father was probably one of the most important poets of his generation and continues to be an important poet, Jose Montoya. And your uncle is Malaquias Montoya, who is certainly one of the most important visual artists of the Chicano movement. What was it like growing up around so many creative, artistic people who were also activists in the Chicano movement?
You know, I went to the L.A. premiere last night of Cesar Chavez, which is a really beautiful movie, and I'm urging all of our raza, but really anyone that respects labor and the story of unions in America to really go out and support this movie. It's going to open March 28th. And I actually worked on that movie. The scenes didn't make it in the final cut, but it's absolutely, he made the right picture that he had to make. But watching that story and talking to Paul Chavez after the movie, Cesar's son, I mean, the lives parallel because, you know, there was almost a century of the wind of the century that, like, it gathered up our parents and they were on this other kind of mission, you know, to organize and to educate and to use art as a political tool in a way. And all that time growing up with my brothers and sisters, you know, and we were always working class. It wasn't a life of privilege. It was a lot of moving and a lot of hard work. We weren't migrant workers, you know, either. But and all that time of the 60s and the turmoil and Vietnam and the Kennedys and Martin and Malcolm and doing all that turbulence, I just can't believe how much humor there was in our home. Right. and how, you know, there was also that aspect when Dad got home, there would be stories, and there were times you waited for your dad to get home, and like the Chavez family, it's, you know, a lot of times Dad was out, you know, organizing the Southwest, organizing Aslan or some poetry reading where, you know, and back in those times, you know, because I've seen footage and video footage and a lot of those we were at as children, there was a sense of danger sometimes. I mean, when the poets from Texas came to California and it would go off to Milwaukee, or the New Yorican poets came from New York, I mean, it could be combustible, you know, there were cats named Tigre and from El Paso, Ricardo Sanchez, you know,
right.
From Texas, and Raul Salinas, and mixing it up with, you know, Lorna Di Cervantes and Roberto Vargas and Lucha Corpi, Jose Montoya. I mean, those, you know, they were just heady times in a beautiful a beautiful thing to watch as a kid. And I wrote an article for the Sacramento Bee right after my dad's passing, just tried to capture that entire moment as a child and what our dad and our mom both did for us. But, I mean, we had a front-row seat, in a sense. When Luis Valdez took my dad's poem, and Luis, it was performed just for the family in their storefront in Fresno. You know, you just, that poem is indelibly etched, you know, inside your brain. So I actually keep a lot of people posted on this on, believe it or not, my Facebook page, Richard Montoya. But I post, and they can find a lot of these postings and a lot of links to these articles, because the challenge now, brother, is keeping Jose and his work, his living legacy, like, vibrant, and also very much in the way that you have been doing for my cousin, Andres Montoya, yet again another poet, another Montoya poet. You know, you want to keep their works out there and vibrant, because it's as if they wrote it this morning or yesterday. Mm-hmm. We honored Jose in Sacramento at the largest venue we could find, and there were, you know, lines around the block, his name up in lights. You know, we had to turn away 300 people in. Luis Valdez and Lorna D and Ana Castillo, Eddie Olmos and Dolores Huerta, Paul Chavez, Arturo Rodriguez. And a three-hour night, brother, and I mean, I could tell you we barely scratched the surface of life, you know. Told a lot of stories. The National Compadre Network, the guys from the Círculo de los Hombres, Frank Molina, these are people in Sacramento that just really made it happen and across the state. And I'm telling you, for Chicanos, man, January 23rd, you really wanted and you needed to be in Sacramento. I mean, it was like people came from New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, L.A., of course, Fresno, San Francisco. It was just white hot with, you know, literary fire for Jose. And my uncle Malaquias got up and told a couple beautiful stories, you know, really about growing up in the campos and sometimes living in sheds with no roofs on them. And, you know, they're from the generation of the fields. Again, circling back to Chavez, you know, we're really just a generation or two removed, you know, from people that worked in the fields. And I think that's why we have such a deep respect for the campesinos. And Jose was doing exactly what Cesar was doing, and that was humanizing the farm worker, you know. It's been an incredible journey, you know.
Andres Montoya, the poet, your cousin, the son of Malaquias, and I were roommates for many years, and I learned about your father through Andres. And one of the things that I guess I'm beginning to think of right now is your father was funny. I mean, his poems were funny, and just to hang around with him, he would crack everybody up. I guess it makes sense that you started Culture Clash, which is, you know, an incredibly funny comedy. Can you tell us a little bit about how you started Culture Clash?
Well, I mean, it was 1984 in the Mission District of San Francisco with Rene Yanez at the Galleria de la Raza. I mean, 84 wasn't a particularly, you know, funny time. The Chicano movement or the United Farm Workers movement had kind of seen its better days, but it was kind of settling into the mid-80s. But, you know, Nicaragua and El Salvador were on fire, and the Mission District in San Francisco was epicenter for that, so... You know, it's not like that Chilenos in Berkeley were exactly embracing, you know, a Chicano comedy group, you know, and we had an explosive, you know, beginning, and just a few years after us, Chicano Secret Service was coming out of Cal, you know, at Berkeley, so we were like competing, you know, kind of comedy groups and not always getting it right and going off to UConn or finding ourselves somewhere other than friendly territory and upsetting some feministas and upsetting la política. It took years, man. It took at least till the early 90s when we really stopped doing comedy clubs and stopped doing sketch and really started writing plays. And for us, that gave us a whole new lease on life when we realized that we could write these plays and infuse the comedy with a more, I guess, just make sure that the politica was in its place, that our works could be more thoughtful sometimes, always funny. And so right around Bowl of Beans, it just, the world changed. And then after Bowl of Beans came a series of plays that, while they could be humorous and funny, they would also explore the darker sides of, you know, what was going on in our lives. So, you know, if there was a shooting in someone's life, or there was an event, or if we were still questioning or exploring our identity, these were now important things. And then all those people that we had pissed off in the Bay Area, they suddenly overnight in 5 years began to be supporters of Culture Clash. And then something happened right around the time Cesar died, and we went to his funeral. Like, everyone knew who we were, and we weren't ready for that. We didn't understand how everybody knew who we were, and of course we just turned that right back and made sure that we were always remembering and honoring Cesar in our work. Right. And so there was a piece that was all about Cesar and his passing, and the work just continued through the years with plays like Chavez Ravine and Water and Power, and then the site specific stuff. We'd go to towns like San Diego, Tijuana. We'd go to Washington D.C., go to New York, and Miami. We'd write plays about those areas, you know. And the work changed again. You know, it wasn't just Chicano centric. It was, you know, anyone living in the margins. That could be, you know, African American prisoners in Miami-Dade prison system. It could be farm workers in Homestead, Florida. It could be anyone, you know, New Yorican poets or queer activists in San Francisco. We took it all on. That work continues, you know, to this day. Just a couple of weeks ago, Culture Clash did a 30-year anniversary show in Orange County, and I got news for you, man. There's a lot of raza in Orange County. There is a lot of problems with police authority and ICE and INS and just really coming down on the barrios of Santa Ana. And this is just a few blocks from Costa Mesa and the beach community. There's millions of raza, and always has been, from Anaheim to Santa Ana to Irvine to Fullerton. And those cops, they bust heads out there, man. And it really pisses us off that, you know, not one but two Latino males were killed by police authorities last year. So we have our Trayvon Martins going on. You know, we're not just able to escape all this and go do comedy somewhere. No. In fact, brother, I'd say the work is deepening and the urgency is ever more clear to, in the case of Culture Clash and myself, and the real legacy that I carry from Jose, and that Andres was a bit younger than me, but even he had the gift too, was the same gift that's a bit of a burden, is to be a storyteller. We've got to tell these stories.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Water and Power. This started out as a play, and then you adapted it into a movie, and it's just been released. There was this interview I read where you were talking about how Walter Mosley helped you with this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I went through this wonderful writer's program, the Sundance Institute, Robert Redford's institution that really wants to find stories, help develop stories, help us be better storytellers. And in that Sundance Institute, they have very dedicated to Native American stories, you know, Latino stories, stories from Iraq, Iran, African American. Any movie you can think of, you know, from Fruitvale Station to Pariah to... A lot of movies have come through the Sundance Institute, and that's no accident. That's the best place you can possibly find yourself as a first-time screenwriter and director, and I was lucky enough to find myself at Sundance. And they provide these advisors for you, and my advisors were, you know, everyone from Alfred Woodard to Mr. Mosley to just a who's who of, you know, the guy that wrote Boys in the Hood, or the guy that worked on The Godfather, or there you are in the mountains of Utah, the Sundance Resort, and, you know, working with these incredible writers. And, of course, you want to impress them, but, you know, a lot of times your script isn't ready, and that's what you work on. I worked on Water and Power. Was a stage play in 2006. It didn't really... We weren't ready to film it till 2012, and then it... I shot it in 12 nights, but then it took 12 months to edit it. Wow. And what we came up with at the end is what we're releasing May 2nd, Segundo de Mayo, in 23 theaters in Los Angeles to San Diego. And if we do well that weekend, the next weekend we'll be in places like El Paso and Austin and San Antonio. So I know a lot of your listeners have, you know, familia and second cousins and people they don't talk to anymore in L.A., but... you know, Chicano chisme is still faster than the internet, man. They gotta help us get the word out that Water and Power, a true independent Chicano cinema story. I'm just upfront with it. It's not, you know, a general story about Hispanic heritage. No, this is a very Chicano story about brothers that get caught up in the corruption of being elected officials and, you know, high-powered cops and the homies on the street. And in the end, a very redemptive story about staying true to the promise of Cesar and the promise of the movement. But all of that gets lost in the course of one night, but then comes back again. So just one more time for your listeners, March 28th for Cesar. Let's make Chavez the number one movie in the country. That opens up nationwide. You've got to fill up every Cineplex and go watch the story of this amazing man. And then March, May 2nd, Segundo de Mayo, don't go to the wet t-shirt contest at the Applebee's or Mexican night at TJ's Friday. Go to the Cineplex, man, and watch these beautiful movies so that we can ensure that there's more movies. Movies by mujeres, movies by young kids, movies, you know?
You know, I will be in L.A. on May 2nd, so I'll definitely go and bring a bunch of people. And, you know, the wonderful thing about this movie, I haven't seen it, obviously. I missed the film festival that you did when you premiered it in Hollywood. But I haven't seen it yet. But one of the things that I know about it, just based on what I read, is it honors not only the Chicano story in L.A. and how the Chicanos are so much a part of the history of L.A. and the meaning of L.A., but it also honors literary Los Angeles in terms of the noir aspect of it.
Well, yeah, you know, thanks for pointing that out, because I wanted to, going back from the stage play, you know, and the hard lesson about theater is a venue for language, and film is really a language for visuals and cinematic. So how to turn L.A. into a visual kind of poem is really what Water and Power is. And through the words of a guy that you might find on the street, a homeboy, a cholo, whatever you want to call him, that really runs the streets of L.A. in a wheelchair, of all things, he is the storyteller of Water and Power. And so he does it in a kind of a poetic way that L.A. is still a desert, and the desert can still hurt you, and the Mother Ditch, the Zanja Madre, the water valve in Chinatown, whoever controlled that historically in L.A., going back to the early days of the aqueduct in Mulholland, whoever controlled the water valves of Chinatown controlled the city of L.A. So, you know, how poetic is that? And I didn't want to just mimic. I didn't want to just mimic film noir. I wanted to add to it. I wanted to add the language so that we could have lines that are, you know, nothing is concrete in L.A., you know, except the river, you know, and the fact that L.A. is not for everybody, and that, you know, when they go looking for muscle, they go looking for the tough guys. They you know, they got to go to places like Frogtown, and they've got to go out into, you know, the far reaches of the East Side, and that there's, you know, and then the idea of water and an environmental message in a Chicano film, what the brothers are fighting for is a million trees for the East Side of L.A. so that they could uncement that river and plant 100 trees on the Cesar Chavez River Parkway. So again, Cesar factors in, and it's really part of the same movement of Chavez. I don't want to say like I'm Diego Luna or these movies are exactly the same. They're very different. It's just 45 years later, after Chavez, you've got Water and Power, and you've got a cautionary tale for all those ambitious Hispanics that we don't want them to forget where they came from. That's all.
Yeah. You know? We've been talking to Richard Montoya, writer and director of Water and Power, which will premiere May 2nd in Los Angeles, and then we hope all over the country after that. We wish you the best success with this movie. It's necessary, and thank you so much for being out there and representing and creating great art.
Hey, brother, thank you, and thank all your listeners. And listen, honestly, hit me up at Water and Power Movie on Facebook, Water A&D Power, or my own Facebook page. This took a little doing, and when I go out to old EPT, I want to put on a tacuche and have you guys show me around. Is it Tico's Tacos? What do you got? You got some crazy taqueria out there, right?
Yeah, Tico's Tacos, they're crazy about it here. But, you know, I'm from California, and I just don't get the Chico's Taco thing, because what they do is they drink the juice.
Dude, I ate tacos soaking in juice. I almost died, but they were good, though.
Yeah, they are tasty. But Thank you so much.
My cholesterol shot up to past Chicano orbit level.
Hey, well,
thank you for knowing so much about the Montoyas, and thank you for all the great work that you've done with my cousin Andres, man, and editing his works, and that's like carrying water. That's what the film's all about. So Chavez, March 28th, May 2nd, Seguro de Mayo, Water and Power in Los Angeles. Tell all your family in LA, man. Really appreciate it, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you, Richard.
Órale, el paso. Ándale. Good night.
For Poem of the Week, I'm going to read an unpublished poem from Andres Montoya. This poem comes from his posthumous manuscript called Colonization, which is forthcoming in about a year, I would say, from Bilingual Press. And this particular poem is called Tree. And these are poems that he wrote right before he died of leukemia at the age of 30. Tree. Did you crawl from a swamp to rest at last on that man's back? Or did you have purpose even in the mouth of the poet, weeping on a Tuesday in the afternoon as the sun was beginning its long walk to the sea? Or perhaps you were born from the skin of that man, learning at the first the way flesh parts to allow the body's sap to flow onto a world wounded by its own hand? Did you begin, too, to weep? Did you hate the men who did this thing, who showed angels and demons the way we paint the canvas of history? Or did you say, bow, bow, and receive your kingdom of meat? I tell you, I am only a boy. I, too, moan with you. As the body of wind enters like a stone opening its mystery, this is how one finds his knees. Tell me, what did it feel like to understand first the mystery of a veil torn in two? What swamp did you crawl from to rest at last on the back of that broken man? Or were you born on the highest hill of the dump shaped like a skull? That was Tree by Andres Montoya. I'd like to thank Richard Montoya for joining us on today's show. Make sure you go and see that movie. Support Latino movies. Go see Cesar Chavez and go see Water and Power. I know it's going to be a fantastic movie. I'd like to thank Andres Montoya for leaving behind so many good poems for us to read. And I look forward to his posthumous book coming out in about a year. I'd like to thank our producer, Norma Martinez, for making life easy for us. I'm Daniel Chacon. Join me next week for another edition of Words on a Wire. And don't forget, the next book you read may save your life.
I'm up on the tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire.